the way that I envision my relationships now is this term just came to me. It feels like a cosmic hierarchy.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multi-Amory Podcast. On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we're talking about what hierarchy means to each of us.
Yeah, so hierarchy, that's a big one. That's a word that gets tossed around all the time in poly circles.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, is it okay? Is it not okay? Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Is it toxic? We've definitely talked about hierarchy before on this show. We've talked about different types of hierarchy, you know, the whole prescriptive descriptive thing, or, you know, building relationships that don't have any hierarchy. So we wanted to revisit it, and specifically, rather than trying to give our listeners just a rundown of the basics and like what we think are best practices, we wanted to share a little bit more of our personal experience. Because the thing is that I think that what I see a lot when people are talking about hierarchy, or when hierarchy tends to turn toxic, for me, I find that it's the direct product of basically not examining your relationship. I think of it as like unexamined hierarchy is possibly the most dangerous or can cause the most damage, I think.
Hierarchy. Yeah, that's just there because you expect, okay, that's the way that it's supposed to be, or that's
right.
The way it's always been.
Right. Or even when people do decide, like, we want this particular type of hierarchy, like that, you know, deciding and then never checking back in on that, you know, never examining, is this still working for us? Does this still make us happy? Are we still clear on why we're doing this? Have those reasons changed? You know, stuff like that. And to be honest, like my whole thing right now is just examining everything, you know, like examining your sexuality, examining what your dating preferences are, examining your political views. Like I'm really into picking up everything out of your life and, putting it under the magnifying glass to a certain extent. And even if that doesn't mean it changes, it may not change, but still putting it through the process of examining it and checking back in. So that's what's inspired me today. Em, you were giving me a face earlier.
No, just I was wondering about your political views, you examining that. And so I was like,
Well, I think it's really important. Yeah. I think that my political views haven't changed. Well, I don't know. Sometimes certain parts of my political views have changed quite a bit over the last 5-ish years or so. And it's not quite this broad stroke thing of like, I switched from this political party to that political party. It's more nuanced. It's more of like the way I felt about this issue has changed over time. I don't know. It's just too. That. And also just examining like, how have my political feelings been formed? Like what influences them? What makes me change my mind about something? Where am I building my opinion? You know, what am I basing my opinion on? Is it just on looking at headlines on Facebook or whatever?
Right.
So just that is all.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well,
yeah. I think since the three of us have been in any way polyamorous, like hierarchy has been a big question and a big decision and has changed, and we've had like all of these different experiences with it. So we kind of decided with this to divide the episode into three different parts, where two of us are going to actually interview the other one about their experiences and their views on hierarchy, which I think is a really interesting way to go. But all three of us sort of have different viewpoints when it comes to this, and I think that it'll be fun to like have some clarification and sort of like see three people who have been involved in this for years and kind of what this means to them, and hopefully it'll like be a swath of what the demographic is, or just like what polyamorous people believe, because not everyone is going to have the exact same viewpoint by any means.
Yeah.
And like the three of us won't either.
Yeah.
Great. So first up is Dediger.
Oh, it's me. Oh, I get to be in the spotlight first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. I like it.
All right. So have a seat here in the interview chair.
Okay. Here I am in the interview chair. Are you going to put a flashlight in my face?
Yeah. I was thinking, shine the lamp on you like a police interrogation.
Jeez.
Would be good.
Yeah.
Or like make you sit inside of a fern or something like that.
Inside of a fern?
Like
on
between two ferns?
That is literally between two ferns. That is not inside.
Yeah. No, one of the things he would do is like set up the other person's chair so that the fern is like
in front of them,
and they're having to like
that's true.
Fight their way out of the fern.
That is true.
That is what you meant. It was just a fern thing that can is I actually, used for interrogation.
This was just a deeper cut than you guys were expecting.
Yeah, it was. But going that deep, since I'm the one in the interview chair first, can I have it be more like inside the actor's studio where you both are twin James Liptons, multiple Liptons.
Multiple James Lipton?
Asking, what is it?
What is your favorite word?
Yes. What's your favorite sound?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
If heaven exists, what will God say to you at the pearly gates?
Okay, just do that, but just with questions about hierarchy. Hit me. I'm ready.
Okay, Emily, take the first one here. God.
What is your definition of hierarchy?
I didn't think you're actually going to commit.
Exactly.
That was really good. That's good.
I can't really find him.
I haven't
listened to Actor Studio in years, but this is my spin on him.
That's great.
Okay, what is my definition of hierarchy in general? And I'm going to assume that we're going to cut straight to the chase and be talking about hierarchy as it relates to relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, my definition of hierarchy is a kind of pecking order, as it were, that people set up in their lives either intentionally and consciously or very unintentionally and unconsciously. I think it's possible to do both. And I think that pecking order most traditionally is handed down to us that, first things first needs to be your romantic partner and maybe then your kids, or some people, kids and romantic partner kind of hit the same slot. And then next slot down from that is maybe family members, then next slot down from that is maybe close friends, and then less close friends, and then coworkers, and then like a random schmuck on the street, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the social hierarchy in our own personal lives that we adhere to, I suppose, in order to keep things organized. I think when you start getting into the realm of non-monogamous relationships, that then hierarchy starts to become, I guess, the same. It's a pecking order of like, who's the most important to you? Who do you have the most life entanglements with? Who do you feel like the most in love with? I always get that question about my partners is like, okay, but really, who's your favorite?
Right.
Because people love knowing exactly what the social hierarchy is. So,
well, I'm going to ask a little sub question.
Okay.
Like, why do you think that is? Why do you think everyone wants to know that?
And when you say everyone, what do you mean by that? Who are these everyones?
Jeez, you Liptons, you. Everyone. Okay, sorry. The everyone's that I was referring to, I guess I should have been more specific, is usually people where the concept of polyamory is relatively new to them. And we're in a conversation where they're kind of trying to figure out and try to understand what my life is. So that's when I usually get that question of like, no, really, who's your favorite? Literally one time one person asked me like, so if you had to let one of your partners die, which one would it be?
Like in The Good Son, and you're like holding them both off a cliff and you've got to choose which one to let go of?
Basically. No, and I was like, geez, like, and I threw the question back at him. I was like, so if you had to let both your parents or like one of your parents die, which one would you pick?
My father, absolutely.
Jeez, okay, gosh. Well, this person who was asking me this.
But that's easy. Come on.
Oh my goodness, Emily. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to bring it back around to what we were talking about. Okay, so I answered Emily's question. What was your question, your sub-question again?
Oh, it was just, why do you think people ask that?
Why do people ask that? I think we're very much, well, obviously we live in this, monogamy as default culture, where it's like, there's got to be one person. Like, there's definitely one person who's the most important. There's the one person that you love the most. And, this assumption that everyone should be on the hunt for that one person. And I think also, even in a lot of the examples that we see in film and TV, even of like love triangles, for instance, like it always works out that like, oh no, she's got to pick one or he's got to pick one, right? One person is going to win out as the real one who, you know, she was meant to be in love with all along. So that's why I think that is.
That's interesting. I wonder, because, yeah, that is, that love triangle setup is a pretty typical one, but it always has that resolution of, like, which one's the real one, though. Mm-hmm. And the secret was they knew it all along. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of hierarchy, then, do you currently practice? I can't do the James Lipton voice, so that'll
okay.
just be
that's
Emily.
All right. That's all right. What kind of hierarchy do I currently practice? So I think that's an interesting question because it implies, and I think a little bit truthfully, that there's no way to have zero hierarchy in your life whatsoever. And that's maybe a controversial statement, but I think even people who identify as relationship anarchists, and I know myself, I definitely try as hard as I possibly can to apply relationship anarchy principles to my life. You know, even relationship anarchists, like, as we try to explain all the time, it's not about keeping every single relationship equal, like that there is fluctuation. So the way that I envision my relationships now is this term just came to me. It feels like a cosmic hierarchy. And what I mean by that is it feels like there's these kind of different spheres of influence, like different orbits, if you will, where it's like, for instance,
I thought you were getting real transcendental.
Yeah.
Oh,
something.
You know me. You know me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where
I
feel like in the orbit that feels closest to me are like my two partners, Jason and Alex. And then a little bit out from that is like a relatively newer partner that I started seeing like maybe 6 months ago or so. And then that also includes like really, really close friends. And my thing is that as someone who also is trying to be more relationship anarchist, I'm also trying to examine and trying to bring like more of my close friends closer into that fold instead of kind of defaulting to, you know, like my two romantic partners being like the most important people or the most people that I talk to the most or stuff like that. So I guess long story short is I try as hard as possible to stay away from like a strict primary secondary hierarchy specifically. But I am aware of the fact that like there is a spectrum in my life that is kind of spread between my partner's friends and family members of like people that I feel more intimate with versus people that I don't.
Hmm. What's been a painful experience you've had with hierarchy?
That's really good.
Let's sprinkling in the Sean Connery a little bit to the James Lipton, but I kind of like
bringing
that hybrid.
I'm bringing him back. I don't know. It's been a while.
Okay.
That's true. That was like one, I think maybe the first
voice that was ever done.
Was
okay.
The, your,
wow.
Your heart chooses him, but your will chooses me,
yeah,
or whatever
something
it was.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay. A painful experience I've had with hierarchy. Definitely several, I would say. And I would mm-hmm. say most people who have read my book know that, you know, a lot of the lessons that I learned around hierarchy were very painful. And I think, ironically, I feel like a lot of people that I hear about, like who share their personal stories, like their painful story that has to do with hierarchy is when they were a secondary partner and they felt mm-hmm. like they couldn't get access or couldn't get like the amount of intimacy that they wanted with this other partner because that partner had a primary. And I actually feel like my experience with hierarchy was the opposite in that, like, I kind of adhered to hierarchy and became someone's primary partner, thinking that it was going to solve all the problems in that relationship. Like, thinking that once I got the title of primary, then I would no longer feel insecure and that, you know, everything would be great and that I would just feel super, super validated and securely attached in that relationship. And then it didn't. And so I don't know, like I, again, without going into too much detail, because you can read about it in my book, that was kind of
the
most...
You have to buy it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that was the most painful thing for me is that it's like I fought my way to the top to become primary partner. And like now, yay, I'm number one. I'm the queen of the hill, as it were. But now, instead of feeling more secure, now I have to like make sure I maintain my title and no one can threaten it. And so now I'm extra stressed making sure that no one's like horning in on my primary title. So that was what it was for me, is that it went essentially from like one type of insecurity to another type of insecurity. It didn't actually solve the problems for me.
Can I just say that I find it really impressive that you are choosing to talk about like your struggles with that thing in general, mm-hmm. because from my end of it, which I was involved in this to a degree.
Yeah, you were attached to that.
Yeah, I saw it all from your and my partner's standpoint of him wanting to keep you primary and therefore like get your other partners out of the situation, but I'm sure that you also had things involved in that, like your own insecurities and your own challenges regarding that. And so I guess I just want to applaud you at being able to look at yourself and how you entered into the promise of hierarchy and what it would give you, and figuring out that that actually wasn't necessarily what you ultimately needed.
Well, shucks, thanks for the compliment. I do my best to examine myself. Well, but I don't know, it taught me such an important lesson that I now try to convey to my coaching clients, like especially my coaching clients who are very specific about, like, I really want to find a primary partner, or I want this relationship to be primary, that I really, instead of telling people like, no, you can't have any hierarchy, that's toxic, that's bad, I kind of just tell people, like, instead of chasing after the label of primary, like do some reflection on what it is you're actually looking for. Like, is it, I want this particular partner to spend more time with me? Is it, I want to be able to bring this person home to my parents? Is it, like, I want to feel a kind of like mutual love and affection and care from this person? And once you figured out what it is you actually need, like, go after that, you know, don't go after, I need you to call me primary. So I think that was the biggest lesson for me from that whole experience.
So the next question we have is, can you think of any moments where a hierarchy served you well, or that was a positive thing in your life?
Yeah, and I think it relates back to that same experience that, like, the day, it's so silly, like, the day I finally earned that title of primary, it was like my coronation day, you know, like, like the moment that, like, that particular partner finally told me that that's how he felt about me, and he used that label, like, basically for that day, it felt awesome. Like, I felt like, oh, this is so great, and it's just going to be all wonderful from here on out. And, like, again, like, I don't have to feel insecure. I don't have to feel worried about anything. And then, like, basically after that day, it didn't really feel secure or safe anymore. But, I mean, in other relationships that I've been in the past, like, that were more, I guess, casual non-monogamy or more open relationship, where other partners were more casual, like, sure, hierarchy served me in the sense of, like, you know, it's nice to be the partner that gets shared on Facebook, on social media, or that gets to meet the parents. If you're in a context where it's like, I'm going to have one important emotional relationship and then everyone else is going to be casual, like, yeah, it definitely served me in those situations, because that's definitely a very clear power dynamic. And when you're on top of the power dynamic, like, then it feels really good.
Interesting. Jeez. Yes.
Well, can you think of any particular, like, types of relationships where you think hierarchy is necessary?
It's necessary.
Or is the best choice to make?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, the necessary part. Because again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I always come back around to, like, is there any way that you can get what you want in your relationships without needing to put it into these categories of, like, this one's primary and this one's secondary? And I feel like around this particular topic, a lot of people bring up, like, well, what if you, like, have kids with someone? Surely that would be your primary. And again, I like to ask people to examine that too, because it's like, well, not necessarily. I mean, I think it is definitely important that if you're going to choose to have kids with someone, it's with someone that you feel like you can trust, who's going to be a good parent and who's going to be committed and who's going to entangle their life with yours in this way and be there for all 18 years, regardless of what happens between your, you know, the relationship between you two.
And let's be honest, usually more than 18 years.
Exactly.
In this day and age,
18 years is the minimum.
Right. So I don't know. With that particular situation, I'm kind of like, if the only way you can assure that your partner is going to stick around and take care of the kids is if you label each other's primary, like, I feel like that's a little bit of a red flag, if that's the only way that you feel like you can trust your partner. But maybe that's a little bit inflammatory to say. I just kind of feel like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to ramble on this too long, because the two of you are going to get asked the same question and I want the two of you to add to it. But that's my kind of thing. I think that definitely being clear about your priorities and being clear about your commitments, whether that's raising a child or owning a business together or owning property together or something like that, like being clear on how that falls into your life and what expectations and obligations are there is important. does it need to be strictly codified in every single situation within the realm of non-monogamy, at least? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of people will see the three of us and like expect or think certain things. And specifically with the two of you, you live together for a lot of the year. You go on trips together, do a lot of things together, and kind of present as a couple that is maybe potentially hierarchical, even though I know that you've just said that you try to employ a non-hierarchical or more relationship anarchist viewpoint. So what is that? Like, what do you, how do you sort of just justify the way in which it may look from the outside, and how that kind of works into your viewpoints of hierarchy and what it is or isn't to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely have a lot of, there's a lot of things to unpack here, but my first question is going to be a question back at you, which is, from the outside, how can you tell someone's not in a hierarchy?
Well, I think that that's a very difficult thing to see, but I do think that when people are in specific types of situations with friends or with people that they may sleep with or may have a relationship with, or someone that they are very already established with, I think that there is an interesting dynamic that can or cannot play out between those established parties and those who are not. And I guess I have seen moments where the established parties may seem way more into each other or way more willing to be touchy-feely or speak to one another over those who maybe they have a relationship, but it's not a relationship that is one of many years or one of a lot of like depth even. And so I guess from that standpoint, like, to me, if I would view those two things in tandem and happening at the same time, my brain would say those two people are more important, for lack of a better phrase, that they are more that they care more deeply or just maybe just have more time and more history than the other people. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the only way that one could potentially view that. And obviously, if you have multiple really established partners, like I have never met Alex, for example, so I've never been in a situation where the three of you are together and I haven't seen how, like, that happens.
Right. So I think what I was going to open with is the fact that, like, I've gotten this question, like, both from you, Emily, and from other people. Like, people ask me, like, is Jace your primary? And the thing is, like, I only, like, the question comes in waves. I only ever get it if I've spent at least a month of my time with Jace. And then I start getting that question. Like, nobody asked me that question when I was, like, living in Istanbul for 4 months. And, like, nobody asked me that question, like, when I'm living with Alex, you know? And so that says to me that, like, I think from the outside we associate the person that you seem to be spending the most time with must be your primary partner. And I think it's a little bit tricky in my situation since I move around a ton. And so, like... Yeah. You know, when I'm in town, you know, like, I spend time with Jace and I'm not spending a ton of time, like, dating other people necessarily. But then when I'm not around Jace, like, either I'm by myself or I'm with Alex or I'm having my own adventures. And, you know, when I'm with Alex, I'm spending most of my time with Alex and not, like, spending a bunch of time, like, dating other people. And so, you know, I think that the interesting thing is that, like, in order from the outside to look like you don't have a hierarchy, if time spent together is the only indicator, then I think that gets into, like, then it starts to get into a thing of, like, I need to start logging hours and telling people, like, no, don't worry, like, you know, I mean, I just spent, like, 3 months with Jace, but I'm about to spend 3 months with Alex, so, like, don't worry, it's all gonna work out equal. And then it starts getting into a balance sheet, and so for
me, and really, like, that's not anyone else's business, but yours and all of yours.
And so that's the thing is for me is that like I check in, you know, I specifically like when I'm spending time with Jace, like try to check in with other partners and then kind of vice versa to like still, you know, still do radars and still make sure that everyone's feeling okay and everyone's getting what it is that they need. And I think that honestly, for me and Jace specifically, Jace, you'll have your own opportunity to talk about this, but I feel like because of the fact that our relationship didn't start out as like monogamous at first and like very primary and then opened up and then tried to transition into like less hierarchy, because it didn't start out that way, I think that's given us more flexibility for that to shift and change back and forth a lot, you know, where there's like parts of the year where we're spending all our time together and traveling together, and then parts of the year where we're not, and there's space for both of those things to happen within the shape of that. So I guess that's addressing it from how it looks from the outside. And then from the inside, I mean, in my own experience, like, again, I can't speak for Jace's experiences, but from my own experiences, like, I don't feel like I'm trapped by a weird hierarchy because I felt very free with both of my partners that, like, if I want to go take a trip with Alex or live with Alex for several months, that, like, there isn't like a cap on that, and vice versa, same thing, that it's like if I want to spend 3 months with Jace, there isn't like a weird arbitrary cap on that from Alex. And with both my partners, there's like talk about the future, there's talk about life entanglements, but there hasn't been a very relationship escalatory sense of like we're definitely on this trajectory towards like marriage and kids and retirement, and like no one else can get in the way of that. At least that's been my experience, unless Jace is holding on to some kind of secret plans that I don't know about, or Alex is holding on to secret plans I don't know about. But as far as I know, that isn't the case.
Makes a lot of sense. Because I think, I've heard people question that, and myself included, but it really does come down to like, that the two of you have established, or the three of you, you know, not necessarily Jace and Alex, but you with each of them have established the fact that you're not keeping the other person from doing anything that they want or don't want to do. And I think that there is sometimes with hierarchy, there can be that idea that like, well, I do have say over your life in a way, because I am, you know, bonded to you in this primary sense. And the difference between that and what you're saying, I think, is huge. So I get a better understanding of, I think, where you're coming from, perhaps.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for me, like, when we had Aggie Says on the show and she talked about the sneakyarchy thing, you know, like that definitely really inspired me to be constantly examining that. Like, do I fall into some kind of sneakyarchy stuff? Like, and especially for me, it's like, if I'm suddenly feeling insecure, or I'm feeling threatened by someone, or I'm feeling upset with something that a partner's done with another partner, like for me, it's examining like, okay, is this just like my own bullshit? Did they actually do something wrong? Or do I have these kind of hidden expectations that I'm like entitled to my partner's time or something, or entitled to, you know? And like, it's uncomfortable to examine that, but really, really important for me, I've found. I didn't cover absolutely everything because I think JC, you should also speak to your experience, but
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Dedeker.
And my favorite word is a Japanese word.
Yeah. We didn't ask all those.
What is it? Fushigi? What is your favorite word?
Fushigi. Fushigi. It means like, it's like mysterious. Fushigi, like mysterious or unknown. I like it a lot. Anyway.
What is your favorite curse word?
We already did that on a different episode.
Exactly. We already went through this.
Oh, what? Shit. Yeah. I forgot.
You remember that?
A while ago.
Yeah. We did a similar thing. So joining us next on the program, we're interviewing Emily Matlack on her views and experiences with hierarchy. Thank you for joining us, Emily.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, we need a studio audience to be like, yay!
Yeah. It's okay. Thank you. Just quiet down, everyone. Okay.
So let's start us off. Can you give us a definition of hierarchy?
Yeah, Dedeker gave a good one. I'd like to it seemed a little negative, the one that you gave. Mm. And so I'd like to maybe just say that hierarchy is the decision that priority will be placed in on certain things. And I think that hierarchy can be like career related or a track related or something, not just a person. So I think hierarchy is the decision of the individual to place emphasis or time on certain things over others, to give priority to certain things over others. And that can be negative or positive, but it is the decision of the individual at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So what kind of hierarchy or not hierarchy or whatever do you currently practice in your life right now?
So I think for all intents and purposes, I am monogamous at this point in my life. That may not stay that way forever, but at this point, my nesting partner and I, who I've been with for almost 4 years, it made the decision this year to like take a step back from dating other people and kind of refocus on each other. And so clearly, like, he is a priority of mine. But I also spend a huge amount of time with the two of you and this podcast other podcast.
You're in a legally binding contract with us. So
exactly. So therefore, you two are a big priority of mine. I think my friends are a big priority, and my work like is a big priority, trying to fit in shows, trying to fit in, you know, I'm going to Shanghai later in the year, and that will become a huge priority in my life. And I'm very busy, and so I try to keep all of those things almost equal. I mean, obviously, like, I live with a person, and I'm not dating anyone else, but I still make a lot of, I try to make a lot of times for my friends as well, and for other relationships in my life, including with the two of you. And, you know, I have, like, one day a week that I spend with Josh, really. And we have like a whole day together, and then the rest of the week is me like running from one thing to the next, and that's it. So when I look at that, I'm like, well, yeah, I guess he's the priority, but like I try to call my mom every other day, and she's a big priority. So it's interesting. I think, yes, like hierarchy can be that, but I'd like to think that I've done a little bit of relationship anarchy in terms of like me really making the choice to have the things that I want in my life to be priorities, and not just focus solely on my romantic relationship as the only thing that matters.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great example of of applying, of kind of taking more of the abstract concept of hierarchy and applying it and combining some relationship anarchy stuff, like you were saying. That's really interesting.
Yeah. That being said, I still think that I could do better at it. I still think I could call you guys more on non-business related things. Yeah. And I think that I could call my friends at home more often than once a month, for example.
Yeah. I feel like we all could do better at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
So now to take things to a sensitive place, can you give us an example of a painful experience that you have had with hierarchy in the past?
Yeah, I mean, really, like, things came to a head, I think, around the time of the book. The book, like, chronicles the lives of Dedeker, Emily.
The Chronicles of Multiamory. Yeah. You mean like as in the times that I was writing about in the book?
Indeed, yeah. Okay. Yeah, which was around the time that this podcast was kind of in its conception and coming to fruition. And I think that those times in general were really life-changing and pivotal, just because I know that All of us were forced to kind of examine what hierarchy meant to us, see how it was deeply affecting Dedeker with a relationship with Brad. And then I felt like it was deeply affecting me because my I was choosing to spend a lot of time with Josh because it kind of felt like an escape from the things that were occurring in my relationship with both of you and Brad. And so I think that that all was challenging, but then also, you know, we all like had difficult things and maybe made mistakes and all of that stuff regarding that. And I know that I used him as an escape, mm-hmm. in essence, because I felt like I was losing Jace in a lot of ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of an example specifically where hierarchy was involved in something painful or negative about that, rather than just the whole situation being shitty?
Yeah, I think I felt like the hierarchy that I felt like I potentially had with you, Jace, was shifting away from me to Dedeker. And that my hierarchy was no longer established in the way that I had thought it was, and therefore I was finding a person who I thought would place me first.
Well, I think...
To be honest...
I think that's so interesting, and I think a lot of these things are a lot easier to talk about now that it's been, you know, so many years,
4 years
after that.
Yeah.
But because, like, what I saw on both sides of that situation is I feel like, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Emily, if I'm totally off base with this, is that, like, in Emily's situation, it was that sense of, like, I'm not getting what it is that I need in this particular relationship, and so I'm kind of trying to find it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It was kind of that sense of, like, the thing that hierarchy had been providing suddenly wasn't there, which was very much connected to needs as opposed to, like, mm-hmm. a label or something like that. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, on my side of the situation with my partner, Brad, it felt more of, like, hierarchy being used as a weapon and like a tool of control, you know? And so it was almost kind of like there are these two very different conversations about hierarchy and relationship formats in general that were just kind of happening in parallel.
Yes.
And also all tangled up in each other.
Yeah. Which I think, it kind of was the pivotal moment in a lot of ways in all of our lives and has led us to where we are now, which is very interesting.
Just here on this podcast.
Here
with all y'all listening to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask, like, what were the moments that hierarchy served you well? And I think also outside of that particular situation that it could be since then and before then as well.
Well, honestly, there was a moment in time where I felt like the four of us in some way, like, kind of were hierarchically equals.
Mm.
And I know that maybe that's like a pipe dream or just like me being silly, but there was a point in which Brad was like, you know, let's have a place in LA and a place in New York, and the four of us will be able to like travel there and do things there and be able to just like live as a group and be happy. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in which I really was like, that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna feel great, and all four of us are really gonna like be able to benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that that's not like necessarily hierarchy taking over, but I think it was a sense of like the four of us against the world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like this was for the briefest of moments, but it did happen and it did feel like a real possibility in that moment.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what like polyfidelitous quads or triads feel like, is that they have this sense of like a unit that occurs that they will be, you know, fine with, and that nothing's going to change that.
Mm.
And maybe in that moment I felt that way. It was short-lived, but here we are.
No, I feel that, because I think I remember feeling the same way also, that like for this brief period of time it felt like really balanced and like really well functioning. And I think the irony being that I think a lot of, you know, the conversations that came out of that experience, they, like I said, like they were things that had to happen in order for all of us to examine a lot of our beliefs and thoughts about relationships.
Totally.
But after us going through that examination process, I feel like something like that is much more likely to like happen again. Like if that happened again, like some kind of quad or something like that happened again that felt really balanced and good, there'd be much more of a chance of success, having sorted out through beliefs and assumptions and expectations around not just hierarchy but polyamory and partnership and sex and stuff like that. But I think that was the thing back then, is that like there was kind of a taste of it, but all of us had a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of unexamined stuff to go through that, unfortunately.
We may have thought, Yeah. Well, we may have thought we knew all the answers, but in reality, like, we didn't know shit.
No, that's...
at least that's how I feel. I feel like, oh my God, I know so much more now than I did back then.
Yeah.
And I could have made much better decisions, but Yeah, but that's okay.
Now, I have a theory, like, I think Jason and I have chatted about this a little bit, a theory that, like, everyone hits that point when they're exploring polyamory, that it's like, once you get past the initial, like, rocky period, and you're in your first 6 months to a year when it's actually kind of starting to flow and starting to work, like, I think everyone hits that point of thinking, like, oh, I know everything, and I figured it all out, and I'm enlightened.
It's like teenage, like, high school
phase. Exactly, exactly. Like, yeah. Everyone thinks at some point that they know everything, and then it all comes crashing down again, and then they're like, oh, actually I didn't know anything, and then they build themselves back up again. That's
my
theory.
Then they become consciously competent eventually, but it takes a while.
Yeah.
Do you have to become consciously incompetent first?
Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly,
exactly.
I think we're still kind of, we still balance the incompetence with the competence.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to 100% get rid of it.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So Emily, I'm going to ask you now the same question that you were asking Dedeker. So, you know, you were talking about taking more of this relationship anarchy inspired look at your different priorities between your friends and your family and your partner, Josh. And yet, if anyone was to look at you from the outside, they go, well, Emily's with Josh and she's not dating anyone else. So obviously, this is extremely hierarchical, and she's always going to choose him over me. She's always going to side with him over me. She's always going to prioritize her time or any important events with him. Do you, like, how do you try to still employ a sense of not defaulting to that hierarchy when you are in something that from the outside similarly looks very much like the typical hierarchical, this person is the only person who's actually important in my life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like if I had a big trip or if I had a big thing with my family members or, you know, a concert or something, that probably the first person that I would ask would be Josh. Like, that is the relationship that I'm currently in. I'd say for certain things and my time, my, like, everyday time and my weekly, monthly, like, the time that I give, that I think potentially is more along the side of relationship anarchy in terms of, like, the actual blocks of time. But in terms of other things like big trips or family or whatever, yes, absolutely. Josh would be the person that I would ask. And I don't pretend to hide that, I don't think. In the relationship that I'm currently in, I don't think that I have to apologize for that. I don't think that I have to feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. I think that that just is what we are doing, and that's the place that I am fine with being in. You know, in contrast, like, I also go on elaborate trips with the two of you and don't do that with him. So, you know, I also get to, like, have
my
time.
You don't go on tour with your boyfriend?
No, I haven't yet. And he hasn't wanted to come. So from that standpoint, like, yeah, right. You know, there are things that I do with him and things that I do with you guys. And the two don't necessarily meet, but there's a time and a place for the things, the decisions that we make and the types of relationships that we have.
Yeah. It reminds me of actually something else that Aggie said on the solo polyamory episode, you know, of course, there's always going to be the debate of, like, is hierarchy good? Is hierarchy bad? What kinds are good? What kinds are bad? But she said, you know, but really it comes down to, like, just kind of having a basis of ethics and consent. And I think that is the thing, is that, like, in your situation or in many people's situation, like, you know, a lot of people that I know feel very strongly about, like, nah, this is my primary partner. I know I have a very clear hierarchy. And, you know, I think that's okay, just as long, like everyone else who engages in your life has to know about that and has to be able to consent to, has to be able to kind of give an informed consent to how they get involved with you. And I think that's where, like, the sneakyarchy conversation comes in, is, like, if you haven't disclosed to a new partner or someone, like, what your obligations are, what is your quote unquote allowed or not allowed to do, that's, you know, a recipe for disaster. Well, thank you so much, Miss Matlack.
You didn't ask me do you think that a particular relationships or hierarchy could be a good thing?
Do you have
the
a good
thing
answer
that
for
I
it?
Wanted to I was going to say, like, children relationships, that I know that, like, a lot of, some parents, like, I never experienced this, but when I was a child, like, my mother put me above and ahead of everything else. And I never had a father growing up, so maybe that relationship, if they had been functional, would have been more hierarchical. But I think when you have a kid, like, they, in essence, maybe should be first.
Yeah.
And so that hierarchy, like, to me, is established and the thing to do, and that is okay.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because, I mean, I've met people who identify as solo polyamorous, for instance. Like, they're not partnered, they're not looking to be partnered, but they have kids, and they're like, yeah, these kids are my primary partners.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing that, like, let's say even if you chose to co-parent with someone that you're not involved with romantically or sexually, like, let's say you choose to co-parent with your best friend, and you still have a romantic partner, that, again, it brings up those questions of, like, well, who takes priority? And it's like, well, the kids take priority, and then you kind of sort it out after that, I suppose.
Exactly. But that wasn't said before. So that's the relationship that I think does take precedent.
Okay. A kid relationship.
I'd been thinking of the question more in terms of, like, what types of romantic relationships, but that's a great point.
That makes sense.
To look at that a little more broadly. But I didn't only talk about romantic relationships.
That's true.
Well done.
Okay.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store, and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy, or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
Well, so, Jason, it is time.
Yeah, the interview chair is all warmed up for you.
All right. Yeah, cool. Okay. Oh, this is a comfy chair. It's so warm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, Mr. Lindgren. I guess I'll start us out. So, Mr. Lindgren, what is your definition of hierarchy?
Gosh, I mean, the two of you have given such great answers already. I think it's interesting, and I think that part of the problem with the word hierarchy and the way that it's often used is the fact that it does apply to a broad range of things. Like Emily put it, in terms of, it's kind of your priorities of certain things over other things. And yeah, that's absolutely, like, on a hierarchy of things. Like, I like, you know, pizza more than I like pasta, right? That, like, you could say there's a hierarchy, and if given the choice, I'm going to pick pizza over pasta, right? Over spaghetti specifically. Let me clarify. Anyway, so I feel like it gets a little bit tricky when we start looking at it so broadly like that. And so for the purposes of how I'm thinking about it, I prefer to think of it more hierarchy in terms of something that's like a system in place that things are kind of locked into. And that to me is different from just priority, because those could change. You know, our taste buds are supposed to change every 7 years. So maybe, you know, red sauce spaghetti would out pizza at some point.
What? Never going to happen.
Yeah, I know. But it could, right? It, like, I'll be open to anything. So I think those things can change. Whereas when I think hierarchy, I think more like hierarchy in terms of something that's much more locked in place, almost like a class system that's like very heavily enforced in a culture, or like we often talk about with a prescriptive hierarchy, meaning it's a hierarchy in your relationships that you've decided upon with the agreement that this can't change, or with the assumption, often that's not even explicitly stated, but the assumption that this can't change, and so we're going to put things in place to keep it from changing. So I think that's kind of more what I think when I think of hierarchy, and that's maybe different from just priority.
Yeah. So, okay, what kind of hierarchy do you currently practice?
Right. So, for me, I have definitely, over the past few years, like since doing this podcast and talking about these things more and examining these things, have found relationship anarchy to be something that really resonates with me. And part of that, part of my hesitancy at first, I think, was some of the misunderstanding that a lot of people have with relationship anarchy, is the idea that it means everyone has to be equal. Mm. And so for me, and we'll probably get more into this later, but I like to sort of use the analogy of our friends, or maybe even, well, let's stick with friends instead of family members, because we choose our friends. Mm. Of using the analogy of that, and that with my friends, I definitely have some friends who, given the choice, I'm going to choose them over other friends. You know, if it were like, I've got a vacation, I'm going to go spend that, you know, visiting my friend, you know, my best friend in Washington, or I'm going to spend that like doing a cool trip with Eric in LA, right? Like, I have some friends who I prioritize over other ones. But if I'm developing a new friendship, or I'm meeting someone new and want to go do something cool with someone, say, that I just met, I would, neither of those friends would say, hey, you can't do that, or like, this is threatening to me, so I'm going to stop you from doing that. To me, that's the kind of lack of hierarchy that I like to practice in my romantic relationships as well. Essentially saying that, like, in the same way that it's not like a friend's going to tell you who you can or can't be friends with besides them. And maybe some friends do this, and I'd say stop being friends with them. but so that's kind of my way of looking at hierarchy in my romantic relationships.
I say that. Yeah, that's great.
What has been a particularly painful experience that you've had with hierarchy?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it's so easy to go to the times we've all been talking about, the book times.
You got other times?
I mean
it's so formative then, but
I know that was so formative then. I think that, gosh, I mean, I'd say there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is specifically in that instance of being in a situation where I was a secondary partner to Dedeker, and that's how that had been from the beginning. And like everyone would say, like, I knew what I was getting into and that I understood that. However, there weren't really specific rules or restrictions on what that meant. But then over time, as Brad started dealing with issues in his own life, he started to try and exert power over or place rules or restrictions on my relationship with Dedeker. And that was awful. That affected me a lot. And I think that when people try to make the justification of, well, but as long as you know what you're getting into from the start, it's fine, I don't think it is, because of two things. One is that often it's not like, here's the very clear list of rules, but also that person entering into it doesn't know the other partner, you know, their metamour, who would be the one enforcing these rules on them, or potentially the one to try to like exert the power of this hierarchy. They don't really know that person. They don't they don't have even the opportunity to develop that level of trust with that person. And I don't think they necessarily should. But so I think that it's one thing to hear kind of secondhand, these are the rules, but like, don't worry about it because we're fine and we have a good relationship, versus when something comes up, and that could be something entirely unrelated to you, that's then all of a sudden these things are going to be used against you. That was really shitty. And then I think also on the other side of that was, like Emily pointed out, because I felt like something was being taken from me, I became so focused on the unfairness of that and how shitty that situation was, that I was not prioritizing my other relationship with Emily enough, and that we had that label of hierarchy that then, or like that label of primary, that as soon as that primary, I think, wasn't being fulfilled, because there was also a certain expectation there, that led it to feel like, oh, well, this has all fallen apart. And like Emily said, was kind of like, I'm going to get out of this situation. Mm. So I think on both sides of that like having that primary label may have ultimately hurt my relationship with Emily, but then also like fighting for rights as a secondary partner with Dedeker also led me to ignore my relationship with Emily at times when I really shouldn't have been. Mm. So sorry, yeah. lots of pain around that for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, were there moments where hierarchy served you well?
No.
Not at all?
None?
I think, honestly, I guess I could say it served me well right from the beginning, just because it felt more comfortable, I guess, when, because Emily and I were in a monogamous relationship first that we opened up. And I think that we might not have felt like we could make that transition if there wasn't a hierarchy to talk about and to kind of reassure each other that, like, don't worry, you're always going to be first. Yeah. So yeah, I guess in that way, maybe it made polyamory even feel accessible. And allowed us to continue that relationship instead of just like having to break up or something at that time. So I guess I could see in that way that it served me well.
Right.
Maybe as kind of a stepping stone to something else.
Do you think that there are any particular relationships where hierarchy could be a good thing or a necessary thing?
I would say, to take it back to my initial definition of hierarchy, I would say no, in the sense that something is locked in and kind of with the assumption that this is eternal and can't ever change. That said, I think Emily's example of parents with kids is absolutely, of course, like this child is dependent upon you. Like, you better fucking commit to that kid. Like that's not really a choice you get to make. That's not something you can just change your mind on later. Other than that, though, I think that could also be viewed as more like, I'm going to prioritize this kid rather than needing to label it specifically as a hierarchy. But if you want to, I think that's fine.
If I can play the devil's advocate, sure, yeah. Though, it's going to make me sound like, some kids are really bad. But no, sorry, that's not what I'm going for. Is more of, but to be fair, even that parent-child relationship, that still changes over time.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Like, and I think sometimes there's a tension there in, like, once a child actually is an adult and dependent or an independent and able to take care of themselves, that there is that tension in that relationship changing for a number of parents of, like, oh my goodness, sure. This person doesn't actually need me anymore. What do I do? And that there can be tension in parents trying to hang on to that power dynamic.
Absolutely.
Either from a good place or from a less good place. Of, you know, this is what our roles have always been, and like, I can't stand to have that change. And some people are more okay with it. More it's, you know, finally you're out of the house and now I get to do what I want for a change.
Right. I definitely heard that one less often, but yeah.
But kind of I think it's like, even though you prioritize kids, that is still a relationship that has to change. That priority and that sense of hierarchy there has to change at some point.
That's a great example. So yeah, so I guess I'd take it back to like, no, I don't really think there's a sense, if we're using my previous definition of hierarchy, which is obviously different than the definitions that either of you gave. Like mine's a little more narrow, I think. So I would say in that sense, no, there's not. But in more of the broader sense, like Emily brought up, which I would describe more as priority, but I think we're talking about the same thing, then yeah. Like I would say children or just anyone that you make commitments to, I think should be prioritized, right? Mm-hmm. Like keeping commitments is important, whether that's a business commitment or, you know, a commitment to own property together or to have kids together or toward those kids or whatever it is. Even to you know, pets or animals together. You're taking care of, or podcasts, a podcast, or, yeah. Right? It could be all sorts of things, but yeah. I guess I would still think that priority makes more sense because it's able to change, you know, hopefully in a healthy way with communication, yeah. But mm-hmm. it's more able to change than the way I think of a hierarchy.
Yeah. Just finally, the question that I posed to Dedeker as well, you haven't really dated a ton in sort of the way in which your relationship with Dedeker has formed and lasted for so long, you know, and you travel a lot with her and go all over the world with her and stuff, and then also come back to LA and she comes with you and stuff. And so all of those things, like, how does that play into the model in which you've sort of set up for yourself and your relationship with her?
Yeah, that's definitely, it's something that's come up, and it's something I've realized, I think I was taking for granted for quite a while that other people kind of had a similar mental definition of what hierarchy meant to what I did. And so if I talk about not having a hierarchy, I think what people hear is not having priorities, essentially.
Not having important relationships.
Yeah, or not having any relationships that are significantly more important to me than others, or significantly more closely entwined than others. And I realize that's been a mistake on my part to not like understand that that might mean a different thing and to be more clear about that. Cause I have had people who I have dated, cause I've dated, you know, quite a bit over the past few years.
Sure.
And, you know, some have lasted longer than others and some have been more serious than others. But I have had a few times where that's come up where someone's been like, you say you're not hierarchical, and yet I see how important Dedeker is to you and how you travel with her. And like, given your choice, you're going to want to spend a lot of time with her. And one of my like go-to tools is to use the analogy of friends. Like I was mentioning earlier with like, there are some friends who, given the choice, I'm going to spend a lot more time with than someone else. And I don't think that's just a product of how long you've been with that person. For example, I have a friend who I was really, really good friends with in middle school. And we're still friends today on Facebook, but I probably haven't seen him in several years, mm-hmm. right? And I would say, actually, to date, of anyone who I'm still in touch with, he might be my oldest friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's definitely not the one who I'm closest with or who I would go out of my way to go spend time with or stay at his place or invite him to stay with me or to plan a trip with him or any of these other things, which I'll do with other friends of mine who, you know, obviously still, you know, I have friends who I've known for quite a while now. But so I guess it's not just a product of time. So like, first there's that. And I think the same thing is true with my relationships, that in this case, like, yes, I've been with Dedeker longer than any other relationships just because that's how that's worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess just the fact that, I think Dedeker is amazing. And so, you know, and I really enjoy mm-hmm. my time with her. So like, hell yes, I'm going to prioritize spending time with her when I can.
However, mm-hmm. can I actually share a little bit of my experience?
Sure, yeah.
I think, and I bring this up because I actually think it's really sweet. If we're ever in LA together, you prioritize your relationship with Eric a lot. Like, a lot. Like, the two mm-hmm. of you go on dates all the time, like bro dates, you know, or you have a date to, like, watch Better Call Saul or to play board games. And often, you know, like to my experience is, even though it's like we maybe like are staying in the same place, but like you're going on dates with Eric like more often than you're going on like dates outside the house with me. And I don't bring it up as like a bad thing, because I actually love it, you know. But I think that's the other thing, is that, like, you know, I think the only person who notices that from the outside is Eric, maybe.
right,
you know.
And that everyone else kind of sees romantic relationship, and so they put on these certain blinders of like, well, if he's prioritizing that, that's a different thing than him just spending time with his friend.
Right.
I think that there's that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I did want to say, though, to take it back to more of the relationship anarchy sort of thing, and also the lack of hierarchy, is just that at the same time, like, I wouldn't accept Eric to put limits on, like, who I'm allowed to spend time with. And I wouldn't expect that from Dedeker either. Like, I wouldn't, you know, that to me wouldn't be an acceptable thing for her to say. Mm-hmm. That said, at the same time, they're both people who I listen to and I trust. And so I am going to listen to them if they're saying, hey, I feel like this other relationship that you have, whether it's a friend or a partner or whatever, like, seems like I'm noticing you being unhappy a lot because of that relationship. Again, not telling you what to do, but like, I'm noticing this mm-hmm. thing. I think that's worthwhile to realize, because I think when people hear no hierarchy, they think, but what if my partner mm-hmm. starts dating this abusive person and I can't tell them to stop? Mm-hmm. I think that it's like based on this assumption that if someone doesn't have authority, like in a hierarchical established way, that they're just going to ignore you. And that's
gonna go buck wild and not make good decisions for themselves.
I also don't even feel like either myself or Eric have had any conversation like that with you very often. Maybe Eric has, I don't know.
I feel like Eric and I have had some conversations like that
about friends or other partners or stuff.
About people that I've been dating, mm-hmm. where he's like, you know, especially if I'm in NRE or if there's like really good sexual chemistry and I'm just like blinded by that. There have been times where he's been like, hey, so like, this person like kind of sucks to be around, like maybe invite, like, just, you know, do what you're gonna do, but like, I feel like there's something here that maybe you're not seeing right now because of your attraction to them. And, you know, that's not to say I heard it and was like, yep, immediately gonna do that because of some sort of hierarchy, but, you know, I did take that into consideration, and I do think ultimately in that instance he was correct, that there was some stuff I was just kind of ignoring. Maybe I was aware of, but just choosing to ignore because I was very physically attracted to this person.
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess that's my answer, is just that I think it is worth being clear with people that I do have priority people in my lives. And, you know, that's Eric, and that's you, Emily, and that's this podcast, and that's Dedeker, and it's, you know, obviously my family, and it's my brother. And, you know, like, I have these people where it's like, this person needs $1,000. Like, gosh, okay, I'll try to get that together to help this person. Whereas, like, I'm not going to do that for other friends or other relationships or like for some of my random cousins and stuff, right? Even take it to family, right? I have a lot of cousins. Sorry, clarify, I have a lot of cousins.
Those Midwesterners, procreating all over the place.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly. But anyway, I guess just to kind of, again, put it to like use analogies as the way I find useful to think about it, to be like, yeah, there's priority people in my lives, in my life, and Dedeker's one of them. And just because I also happen to like have sex and be romantic with her doesn't make that one somehow different from the others in terms of what authority I give her over my life.
Sure.
Or what I expect to have over hers. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe this helped you all out there, because I know this is a thing that people think about a lot and that they ask about
all the time.
And that they want to know more about.
Yeah, I appreciate all of us getting to share kind of our slightly different takes on it, because I think that is valuable to people. I mean, a lot of people, definitely in my experience, really just want an answer. Like, tell me, is it good
what
or bad?
Is it?
Tell me, should I do it or shouldn't I do it?
How do I do it?
How do I do it? How do I not do it? You know? And of course, we can all have opinions on that, on what's going to maybe work out better for you or not. But I think it is also valuable to talk about the fact that, like, first of all, we've all messed this up numerous times. We all have kind of landed in different places, and we're also all learning and shifting and changing and figuring it out as we go along. And so hopefully, if you're listening to this, this offered some insight for you, wherever you are.
Yeah. So we would also love to hear from you. What have your experiences been with hierarchy? Has that changed over time? Have you had any of these sorts of, you know, life-changing, paradigm-shifting experiences like it seems like we've had? We would love you to be involved in that conversation. And the best way to do that is to share your thoughts with other listeners on this episode's discussion thread, which we have in our private Facebook and our discourse forums that are available to our patrons. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram and join the conversation there. You can email us at info@multiamory.com, leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05, or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Emily Matlack, Dedeker Winston, and me, Jace Lindgren. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.